LSU collapses versus the Texas Longhorns. There is nothing worse than that throw up burnt orange. But goodness gracious, a 12-point lead that LSU had midway through the third quarter, you only held them to 19 points in the first half. So shut down defense. It was like we had Tyron freaking Matthew on the court, but we collapsed yet again in the fourth quarter versus a top five team. Now, obviously, in the NCAA tournament, you will not be playing true road games. And you saw a lot of the bracketology that was going on during the game. LSU still sits pretty good as the fifth overall ranked team in the country right now, as being a two seed or a three seed. And that's, of course, the seed that LSU won the national championship with just a few years ago. But we have got to fix these fourth quarter collapses. And this is just going to be the Achilles heel, maybe from now until the end of LSU women's college basketball. What is this lineup? We really, and I mean really, struggle. I want you to come in as close as you possibly can at fielding a team outside of our core players. We saw it last year where LSU essentially was playing a four-person rotation. We could struggle to field an actual roster, and you saw it again today. I don't know if it's some of the lineup decisions that we make, but we really struggle, filling a deep team. We have no problem with our big three. You know, you'll take LSU's big three over basically anybody, arguably, in all of college basketball right now. But Mikayla Williams, Anissa Morrow, and Flaje Johnson, there's only so much they can do as your big three moving forward. So you need Gilbert to step up. She had an amazing N1 in this game. You need last year Poa, who I felt had a rough, and I mean rough, game with turnovers and so on and so on. Obviously, she committed a lot of fouls as well. Do you try and play Del Rosario more? I thought Samaya did some really good things in the paint. Obviously, this was a brutal matchup because Texas has some girls in the paint that are really, really, really good. But this is different than the South Carolina game where we started off really, really, really fast and they kind of just took over midway through the second. This was a game where LSU dominated, and I mean dominated this game for 3.5 quarters, and you just flat out collapsed. So this would be my major thing as far as LSU is concerned moving forward. And this has just been a thing during the Kim Mulkey era. We really struggle in crunch time. Really, 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 really struggle. I don't know exactly why that is, but we struggle closing games. You can go all the way back to when we won the national championship where, you know, you had the Tennessee game in the SEC tournament, and we really didn't play a whole lot of close, down the wire games in our run outside of that one versus Utah. And then, of course, we just struggle to win these close games versus the elites of the elites. That was a few years ago. Obviously, the one that, you know, really stings us is the South Carolina game from last year in Baton Rouge. But overall, we were good in close games in the NCAA tournament last year. But there's something, right? You had the South Carolina game earlier this year, and then you had the Texas game this year. So before we get to all our stats, before we get to all of this weekend and LSU sports, we'll talk some LSU football a little bit later. I do want to shout out Jay Johnson and the LSU Tigers, Ashton freaking Larson. Are you kidding me? But look, this is where I really wanted to focus from Chef Leandria. Y'all, the ISO ball, that's where we struggle, okay? And it honestly, philosophically, makes sense. We are not creative enough in the half court. And when you take a look at the strengths of our team, obviously the biggest strength of our team is our big three, Morrow, Flaje, and of course, Williams. Mikayla was amazing to start the game. The Hezzy layups were literally vintage Mikayla Williams. But, you know, a lot of our success is based on the individual talent of our big three. But over the course of a game, defenses are going to adjust, and our star players are just going to get tired, which lends itself to our four and five, right? Whoever the fourth and fifth players are on the court at one time, okay? And you could see with the isolation ball, yeah, it is indeed true that we don't have a strong number four and a strong number five player. Obviously, I think Gilbert is phenomenal, but that's a different story for a different day. If you play a lot of isolation ball, it's difficult for the number four, number five, the other two players on the court to get involved, right? If you're not doing a whole lot of dribble kick, backdoor cuts, motion type of offense, that, of course, gets easier buckets for those number four and number five players, whether it's Wolfberger or whoever. It gets them easier buckets when you're moving more offensively in the half court. But we are stale. We get really, really, really stale. And when you play a team like Texas, they really never played well in any juncture of this game. A lot of this was us not playing well, okay? So earlier this year versus South Carolina, they blew the doors off of us. After we started fast, they played well. They played really good basketball. They outplayed us. Today really was us losing this game versus a good Texas team, right? They said it on the broadcast. They have beaten five different top 10 defenses. Five different, okay? Now, last thing as far as this game is concerned, and I don't want this to be the major, major, major talking point from this game, but I do have two talking points about the LSU officiating. Okay, I couldn't freaking believe some of the calls at the end of this game in the fourth quarter. Now, once again, it should have never gotten to this point. We, 90% of us, I'll put it like this, 90% of the reason why we lost this game today was us. 5% on the refs and 5% on Texas playing really well. They have got to figure out block charge, okay? Look, they gave us some charges. I thought there was a flop by last year, POA, that gave us a charge. So it was bad on both ends. Y'all, this is not a charge. I understand this is a still image. And apparently, there is no restricted area in college basketball, whatever, or in women's college basketball, which I think is stupid. But you can see Morrow has not made contact with number three yet. So that means she hit number three on the way down. And I think we were down by two when this happened, or down by four. And this should have been an and-one. She made this layup, but they called it a charge. That's a brutal, brutal, brutal call. But we're on the road. We are truly on the road. And then this was ruled to Texas, okay? They didn't call a foul because it wasn't a foul. This was a clean strip that went off the leg of Texas's player. The refs even congregated, and they gave the basketball here to Texas, okay? Now, they didn't end up scoring on this possession, but this should have been our ball. I do think the calls are we're in favor of Texas overall in this game. But I really do believe this. They're just a stronger team outside of their big three. I think if you were to really slice and dice this game, that's what it came down to, okay? Now, I will say, I think Kim Mulkey has had a very underrated season. That is the thumbnail image. I truly do believe it. This generational player and Angel Reese, who I am proud to announce my niece had an Angel Reese meal from McDonald's yesterday. Shout out to her. Shout out to her giving Del Rosario an NIL deal. But Angel Reese leaves, and we're still having this ridiculous season. We've only lost two games, all right? And we won that really difficult road game versus Tennessee. And we've beaten everybody that we should have beaten. And we have not just had a bad game this year. We did not play just absolutely awfully versus South Carolina. We were in it in the end. And versus Texas, we dominated for three quarters and some change. So this season from Kim Mulkey, even though I've been critical of her, it's still been really good. I mean, the glass is still very half full. The future of LSU women's basketball is bright. And what was the big thing as far as the next season of LSU women's basketball is concerned? Will we see Mikayla Williams take that next step? Today, she was great, especially in the first quarter. Okay? So, look, I'm very happy with what Kim has done, but we have really got to take a step back and reevaluate why we are struggling in end-of-game situations. Okay? So, there you go. Let's go to David. He says he wants more press on defense. He wants us to be a little bit more aggressive, create turnovers, make 50% for the three-point line. 50 is a high three-point line percentage. I don't think Steph Curry's ever shot 50% from the three. But I will say, let's go to the stats. We're going to get to all your questions. Let's go to Big Dex here. Lineup decisions are killing us. I do think Gilbert needs to be a bigger part. And once again, I don't watch every second of every LSU women's basketball game. Obviously, I was locked in on today. All right. If you were to ask me who is the fourth best player on this team, it's Gilbert. Now, you would prefer that to be someone like Samaya Smith because that would fit a little bit better with our three, two of which being more perimeter-oriented players. But I thought Samaya did some good things as far as some hustle plays here and there. One thing I would do, though, and this is difficult because it does involve deciding who needs to play more, okay? I do think we play last year Poa a little too much, okay? She's not going to score offensively. And defenses, you can see when you're watching the game, have adjusted to that Poa is going to pass. So, for instance, last play of the game, all right, we are down by a lot, and with 9 seconds left, she has a three that she could have taken, but she passes it up to Mikayla Williams. She's too unselfish, okay? But, you know, this box score right here, it's just something that's not going to get you far, okay? 16 points for Flage, 15 points for Morrow, 18 points for Williams. But you can't have, 4, 6, 9 points from all the other players? 9? It's weird. It's very, very, very weird. I just cannot see a world, though, where Poa deserves 20 more minutes than Gilbert. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I do think, and once again, Poa is a good defender, but she got beat late by number 3, Harmon, who's a good player in her own right. She had 10. But, man, it's tough. It's really, really, really tough when you see these splits. And this is another big problem with the women's basketball program. We did not fix what was a big issue for us, which is overplaying our best players, okay? We had 4 different players play 36 or more minutes. Let me repeat. We had 4 different players play 36 or more minutes, okay? So in a 40-minute game, 36 minutes equals 90% of the game, all right? 90%. That's a lot. Okay, you take a look at the other lineup, they had 1, and that was Booker, their best player, who we were very lucky, laid an egg. I have to give LSU's defensive game plan a lot of credit. We'd made Booker's life very miserable. She was 3 of 17 from the field. Okay, so if their best player, Booker, which I think it's cool, she wears 35, Kevin Durant wore number 35. I like Katie a lot, but Booker wears 35, really good player. We've got to win these games where she lays an egg. Now, this is where Texas also kicked our rear end at the free throw line. We're 13 of 19, which isn't bad at all. They were 21 of 21 from the free throw line. Okay. That's how you win an ugly game. Make your free three, make your free throws when you can. Okay. But God, we've got to do something with some of these lineups. So there you go. Now, once again, we're gonna get to all of your comments. But first, it is important to keep comments civil. I understand this is another tough loss. We're all pretty disappointed. But get along. Come on. SNL 50th anniversary is tonight. Should be a night of celebration. Now, this is a troll comment. Nurse Court, we appreciate you. Let's go to Black Panther. We have no bench play. We came out too hyped and ran out of gas at the end of the games. We'd be lucky to get out of the Sweet 16. Eh, we're going to make a run. I think at this point. Oh, okay, so you're saying get out of the Sweet 16? Okay, I think that's fair. I think they're going to make the Sweet 16. LSU's team is not good at shooting. I think Flage overall is a good shooter. I think the bigger question, though, Reed, is how can we generate better shots? I think that's going to be very key. All right. Now, there is, I think, let me see. We're going live at an obscure time. 59 on YouTube. My thing on Facebook, Twitter, all of that says there's 176 of you in here. So please hit the subscribe button, ring the bell. Obviously, with football over, we ramp up women's basketball coverage. But yeah, as far as where I think this team can go, let's take a look at the women's basketball landscape as a whole. All right, the heavy favorite for the rest of the season is going to come down to three teams: UCLA, USC, and UConn. All right, the fourth team is probably South Carolina, but they got blown their doors just got blown off today. And they have been regressing, all right? They look beatable now. I think if we, you know, replayed them on a neutral floor, we can beat them. We'll see. But I feel like those are the big three. So USC, of course, earlier this week, I watched that game. It was a really good game. They beat UCLA. USC was at home. Best uniform matchup in college sports, USC versus UCLA. Or I'll say the best rivalry jersey color matchup. That was a great game. Lauren Betts for UCLA in the paint. They did a good job. Obviously, I didn't have anyone that could really match up with her, but they did a good job making her life miserable. But, you know, I would think most of the smart money will be on UConn. I could definitely see tomorrow, if you were to look at a sports betting report, that a lot of money came in on UConn to win it all this year because of Paige Beckers. Okay, so the thing is, though, is UConn has been hit or miss. So is there a world where LSU can get hot, make it to the Final Four, and actually win this whole thing? Maybe. I do think, though, depending on draw, LSU can make it to the Final Four. I do think UConn, though, will win it all this year. I think that's the pick. I think the powers that be, wink, wink, nod, nod, knows that UConn is the biggest draw in this year's tournament. So that's going to be my pick. But let's just say LSU plays UConn. Can we beat them? Yeah, we could beat them. Why? Because, honestly, if you pay attention closely to UConn, Gino Auriemma is the only coach in the sport outside of Don Staley who is more accomplished than Kim Mulkey. And Don and Kim are about the same. Well, one thing you've noticed with UConn over the years is they have not been the best in tight games. All right. So, obviously, in the NCAA tournament, you play a bunch of tight games. I think we'll be ready for them if we play them. Okay. But as Cliff points out, you know, UConn's very Jekyll and Hyde. They go to South Carolina and beat them by 30. And there's other games where it's stale. It's not fun. So it could just be my bias, but I think LSU still has a shot to win it all. But based on what we saw today, I think anyone that actually watched this game would say Texas isn't really that good of a team. I mean, they're better than us, obviously, right now, but they didn't look that good for 3.5 quarters, or we just collapse. Let's go to Darren Tross. Or is it Deron Tross? What's up? LSU has no depth, and Texas wore them down in the low post, plus turnovers. Yeah, that's one way to put it. You know, I'm a little shocked with Texas being, the slower-paced team. We didn't play Wolfenbarger and Del Rosario more. But one thing I would say, if Kim Mulkey were to ask my very astute college basketball opinion, which obviously I don't know as much as anybody on that staff, I think a big problem we have outside of our half-court offense being stale, we really need our other players just to be more aggressive. And that's part of the reason why I like Gilbert so much, is that she does not fear a whole lot. She's willing to go make plays and make a shot. You know, we just need our other players to play with more confidence. Because, look, we brought them in for a reason. I mean, they were productive players at their last stops, okay? And one thing I will say, as far as, your core group of players, let's, be honest here. It is something that Haley Van Lith has been so good at TCU. I don't watch every TCU game, but she's had some ridiculous performances. Why didn't it work here? Okay. We need to figure out what we can do to get more out of our other players. Is it telling them just to shoot more and be aggressive and move things around? We'll see. Let's go to Bob. Welcome, Bob, to the channel. Accept the loss, dude. You got your ass kicked today. Okay. I don't know if I would describe that as an ass kicking, but I understand you being a Texas fan. You have to. No fan base plays a victim better than the Longhorns. But yes, that was the ultimate difference. You can win ugly games like Texas did today without missing at the free throw line. And they're actually 21-21 from the free throw line. Okay. Texas made their last 6 field goals. We were 0 for our last 4, 1 for our last 10. Okay. Now, coming up next, is there a national championship for the LSU baseball team in the near future?
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me, as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I got to show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan and would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown, counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go. Patreon.com/LSU football. Look. Jamar Chase autographed jersey. We're giving this out to a patron at the end of March. All you got to do is be a part of the Patreon, and we will draw live on PHL. This thing is a $200 jersey, but I want to give it out from my personal collection to yours. And to add one extra little facet to this, I have never opened this Jamar Chase uniform. So you would be the first to open, outside of when Jamar signed it, the Beckett certified Jamar Chase uniform. And guess what? You get a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. Sign up now, patreon.com/LSU football. And guess what? Bang. We gave this out today to Skipper. He won a Jack Besh signed helmet here. Obviously, Jack Besh, a former PHL guest. Glad to call Jack a friend, obviously. I'm cheering for him in the NFL, even though he didn't play for LSU the last couple of seasons. And Skipper won that helmet. So there you go. Now, Sam, there you go. Well, you're a patron. So your name is already entered. Okay. One thing I do want to include is this signed jersey. I think is probably one of my top 10 favorite things in my entire collection because you guys know how much I love Jamar freaking Chase, okay? I do want to talk a little bit about LSU baseball. I don't cover LSU baseball as closely as my buddy Blake Ruffino, so he's going to have, you know, better coverage than me. But Purdue Fort Wayne, I understand. This is not prime USC that we were going up against. 14-0, 10-1, 8-1, final freaking score. I want to shout out my guy, Ashton Larson. I freaking love me some Ashton Larson. You really got to hit the ball for you to stay on this field, okay? So Ashton Larson had a big day, almost hit for the cycle. Are you kidding me? But you know, I think the big story today was Chase Soares getting back out there for LSU baseball. So pretty freaking good stuff. You know, the big thing for me is LSU has a bullpen. So look, you can say what you want about LSU baseball last season. I really do think Jay Johnson did a good job with the team that struggled early. And I'm pretty excited about LSU baseball this next year. Now, one final thing. I don't think we're talking about potentially the best team on campus right now. which is LSU softball. They have been crushing it, took care of business versus Virginia Tech all weekend long. And part of why, you know, Skipper won the Jack Besh helmet is he is our LSU softball expert in our chat. So pretty freaking excited about Beth Tarino. And I will go to the grave saying this. She should always be the LSU softball coach. Okay. At some point, if you continue to field really, 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 really good teams, you're going to break through in the NCAA tournament. Hell, last year we started the year, 23-0, and we beat, ironically, Texas, the number one team in the country. We've got a shot. We've got a real, real, real shot to do something next year. Oh, so Bob. Okay, so Bob, you've gone back and forth. Give me a break. That's because our defense shut you down in the second half. But I like a homer, even though I'm a Longhorn grad. Bob, I don't think I've been anything but complimentary to Texas. You would agree that you guys did not play well, but you guys came through in the fourth quarter, okay? And Vince Young is arguably the best player to ever win Heisman. All right. I've sucked off Texas long enough. We move along. Let's go to Selvie Scenes. It's like they don't trust each other to move the ball. Whoever gets the ball is taking the shot every time. The ball never moves from side to side to make the defense work. I will also back that up as well. We really, and I mean really, struggle with that, okay? And it's kind of the same point that, you know, we made a little bit earlier. It's tough to watch, honestly. I will say defensively, we were very good early in the game, okay? Cliff, I don't know. You know softball, but Skipper actually sits and watches every single game, every pitch of every single game. Let's go to Reed. He says, we don't have a real point guard or center. Yeah, you know, the game has evolved where, like, you don't need, like, your traditional John Stockton type of, like, point guard. And that's evolved in, like, the women's and men's game. But it would be nice to have someone that can set you up, right? That's not, just a scorer. I do think a traditional PG would be good. Now, as far as the no center, I don't know. I had high hopes for Del Rosario, and she just doesn't play. She doesn't play at all. And I honestly think today would have been a good matchup for her. And, I mean, look, she played a lot last year. It's rare that Angel Reese leaves, and it's not quite a one-for-one switch. Because obviously, you know, no one's going to be as good as Angel Reese, but positionally it's kind of a one for one switch, and you play less, right? You just didn't make a lot of sense. But who knows? Oh, so you went to the game, Selvie. Congrats, man. I'm glad you got to go. Okay. Sam wants to talk baseball really quick. Once again, I should have done this earlier because, you know, when I call for them, they do begin to flood in. If you want your question asked, okay, once again, it's not football season, so we jump from sport to sport, but I will go straight to your topic, okay, because you're feeding my family. Let's go to Sam, though. last year, baseball team had hella bats and struggling arms. This year, it's more balanced, but the bats have been cold in the first few innings of each game. Kim recruits a lot of good athletes who are great one-on-one players that tends to show up in crunch time. Yeah, but also, and this is coming from someone that calls lower-level women's college basketball. You know, the team that I mostly call games for, we move the ball around fine, but when I watch all the other teams, it is a lot of get the ball to your best player and score. You know, it's important to coach your team up to play with a better offensive structure. Because defensively, we're fine today. We're fine. Bullfrog wants to see the Jets do football. More film breakdowns on some of the transfers. Yeah, you know, I did a film breakdown on Martinez, the offensive lineman who committed. I believe his mom followed us on Twitter. There you go. And you can go watch it for yourself. We did a film breakdown on him. A few things I would like to see him work on this final season, but the bottom line is I don't care what your high school tape says. Well, I do, but if you're a top 100 offensive lineman, that is the most valuable resource in college football recruiting. Even more so than a quarterback, because most of your quarterbacks end up being transfers anyway. Throughout college football, offensive linemen, you need to get them out of high school for the most part. Okay. So it was a big deal. I did a video on it. And I also revealed who my favorite player we have committed up to this point actually is. And hint, hint, nod, nod, it is not the highest ranked guy that we have committed. So you can check that out. It's our last video that we did. Okay. Let's go to Coach Winch 1. Poa was awful today. I hate using the word awful with any player, but yeah, she was bad. She was bad. And I don't get not only the structure offensively, but I don't get our substitution patterns. If Poa is playing that badly, Gilbert is not bad enough to just not have her out there. Okay, I understood playing Smith a lot today. Okay, and I'll get the minutes up here again. Okay, but yeah, I do think you needed to play Samaya Smith for a majority of the game just based on the structure of Texas's team. But someone who scores only 3 points and shoots the ball only 3 times should not play 36 minutes. And I'm not saying that only scoring 3 points or only shooting the ball 3 times makes you a not good player, but you're just going to get tired, right? You're just going to get tired. 36 minutes is a long, long, long time to keep someone on the court. I understand in a big game, I would prefer this to be the NCAA tournament. 37, 37, 37. I don't. Normally for me, the cutoff is like 35. 37 is a lot of minutes. It's a lot. 35 is on the high end. Okay. But, man, I don't know. I'm just higher on Gilbert than most. I think Gilbert's very good. I do. But they don't play her a lot. They don't. I saw Dex mentioned this a little bit earlier. He wants to see Day Wilson play more. Also, you know, I bring up the role players. I don't think it's good that Miracle Shepherd and Wolfenbarger play a combined 9 minutes and they took a combined 1 shot. All right. Shepherd O's across the board, but she had 1 foul and 1 turnover. I understand, you know, I've hammered this point home about having someone else outside of the big three, But I also refuse to believe that these players outside of Poa are so bad that you keep Poa out there for as long as you did. Okay. Oh, yeah. No, give Texas a lot of credit. I mean, LSU was a better team today, but Texas did what they've done all year. I mean, they were really good in crunch time. They're really, 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 really good. Okay, so Dex says, no, I want to see you go. So you and I are on the same page. We normally are. I do think Gilbert needs to play more. Okay. And this is my main reason why I would want Gilbert to play more. Okay. And once again, this should not be a negative. You know, we've beaten Tennessee twice this season, but I want to go back to the Christmas matchup versus Tennessee, okay, where we were on the road and we were able to take care of business in Knoxville, okay? It wasn't quite at Christmas. It was early January, whatever. And she hits that shot, a very difficult shot. And then you go all the way back to the beginning of the season where we're just playing not our best basketball, but we beat Washington 68-67. Okay. And who was the star there? Gilbert in crunch time. So here you have a player who, you know, is trying to figure out her role on this team. But what's been our biggest issue? Well, it's end-of-game execution. Well, who's been the player that's been arguably our best buzzer-beater end-of-game player outside of course, once again, our big three? It's been Gilbert. You know, she's won us two games. And the thing is I believe I'd have to go back and look at the play, but I do think we play Poa too much. Poa actually threw the ball away, I believe, versus Washington, that almost cost us that game. So if I had to say, I'd play Gilbert more, Poa less. Now, they're different type of players, and Poa has more experience, and she probably knows a little bit more of what Mulkey wants, you know, from the team. And defensively, she's probably better, but still, she was a defensive liability today. Where a three Harmon had a big shot on her. So there you go. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, we're going to answer as many of your questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. I'm still a believer in Kim Mulkey. I still think what she's done is very underrated this year. Okay, we've kind of just glossed over how good we've been. The fact we only have two losses. It's crazy. One thing it is a little interesting, both of these teams, Texas and LSU, and I know we have a few Texas fans watching, we have got, I mean, it's amazing how often players sag off of players who are only 15 feet away from the basket. I don't care if you're the worst shooter of all time. If you're open from 15 feet, take the shot. You know, it's a free throw. You practice that every day. Take the shot if they're going to sag off of you. 15, 16, 17 feet. I know the analytics community says a long two is not a good shot. But if it's wide open, to me, it's a good shot. Let's go to Selby, who was boots on the ground. Poa settles the team, but isn't a scoring threat. Yeah, I mean, teams have just adjusted to that. I would tell Poe to shoot more, okay? And one area, especially in women's basketball, because once again, I watch a lot of women's college basketball at the lower levels, okay? I call a lot of JUCO games. It is blatantly clear who the best players are, because you do see a lot of timid players who play a little too unselfish. And one mindset I've adopted is when you shoot the ball, even if it's a bad shot, you are still giving your team an opportunity to score, right? Because the ball is going in an effort towards the basket. When you pass the ball, there's no guarantee that that pass is getting there. There's no guarantee that the ball is going to be caught. There's no guarantee that the player you're passing to is on the same page. A shot can't lead to a turnover. Now, obviously, bad shots are bad shots. You don't want to go too far to the extreme. But if you make too many passes, and I know you make a lot of passes, guess what? It's going to get stolen. And it's going to make you become one less player that can actually put the ball in the bucket if you never shoot. So if I were to coach today, I would tell my players to be more selfish as far as shooting is concerned, especially if my team is very, very, very concentrated like ours is, okay? Gilbert is a scoring threat, but size and point guard play is her weakness. Day Wilson plays timid, and she's scared she's going to get pulled. Somebody's got to play more. Because the minute problem was a problem last year, it was a problem versus South Carolina. It's got to get ironed out. How did we rebound today? Let me go look at the final rebound numbers. I thought we did fine, but towards the end of the game, I mean, they were just abusing us. We have more offensive rebounds. Okay, so like I expected, it was an equal amount of rebounds. But 19 turnovers, man, that is just tough. Tough. Okay. Texas shot 7 threes. Crazy. Crazy. Kim went small to match Texas.
I don't care what personnel you have out there. I would have mixed things up a lot more. I would have.
But I think we've had some issues. Once again, in close games, we've had some issues adjusting. You know, obviously the biggest, and I do think it was a jab at Kim Mulkey when Caitlin Clark, and I don't think it was really a jab, but she said in an interview, she was amazed sometimes at how little teams would adjust when she was on a heater. She said this in an interview a few months ago. I think she was taking a shot at Kim Mulkey, which would make sense, right? And we just didn't, we obviously Caitlin was cooking everybody, but we did not adjust. We kept putting 11 on her last year. And she kept cooking us. So our in-game needs to be better. It does. But I'm still a believer in the staff. I've seen them win it all. I've seen them take us to Final Fours multiple times. So I believe we will make another run. I do. But, you know, let's take the Iowa game that we lost last year. I mean, we're a good team to start, right? We had a good start to that game, but we just have these stretches where we just fade. It's a problem. Now, we've talked about Jay Johnson. We talked about Beth Tarina. You know, gymnastics is gymnastics. Shout out to them. Okay. We all know what Oklahoma brings to gymnastics.
Shout out to the gymnastics program, Jay Clark, that whole crew. I do want to give Cam Carter, Matt McMahon, and the LSU men's basketball team a lot of credit. Now, once again, Oklahoma is a bottom feeder. They're definitely firing their coach at the end of the season. It was a dead arena. Dari Noka, who never gets crazy. I know Dari. Went off on Oklahoma fans on the SEC Network yesterday. All of that aside, and the Oklahoma collapse had led us to winning that game. I want to give Matt McMahon a lot of credit. You know, obviously, I don't think he's the best coach. I don't think anyone in here thinks he's the best coach. But I will say, our teams play hard. And boy, it was good to see them pull that off yesterday. So, shout out to you, Coach McMahon. There's a lot of people at LSU. It's interesting. You know, when I talk to powers that be at LSU, people that work on staffs at LSU, people that work in the NIL departments at LSU, people that just love LSU basketball, season ticket holders, they really like Matt McMahon. Like, they like him personally. They are rooting for him. Wins like that, even though it was a miracle, helps your shot of getting another season. It just does. Okay? So, there you go. Now, let's see. Yeah. Oh. As much as I didn't like the referees, we got to play better. Reed says Carter stop LSU schedule has helped them. Well, we've beaten Tennessee twice. You know, it's not like we've just played, you know, ass. NC State's the number 12 ranked team in the country. I think they beat North Carolina earlier today. We blew them out earlier this year. I mean, literally blew the freaking brakes off of them. We beat Oklahoma. Okay? So obviously things get a little easier. Georgia, Kentucky, who's not that good. Georgia's good, though. Georgia just blew out Kentucky, I believe, today. Alabama, Ole Miss. Ole Miss, obviously, good. And then we get to the SEC tournament. So, not the easiest, but not the hardest schedule to end the season. We'll see how it goes. Okay. Big facts. All right. That'll do it for me. We'll talk to you soon. Next live stream, we might, okay. We might actually go live tomorrow. I won't be able to go live Tuesday night. Actually, no, we can't go live tomorrow. I got that mixed up. The next live stream will more than likely be, it might be at an earlier time on Tuesday. So be on the lookout for that. I've got college basketball to call tomorrow night. So we will see you then. Okay. Get monkey. I still believe in you. We're going to the Final Four. NS! Power out. LSU. Boom! Once again, sign up for Patreon. If you sign up today, you get your first month free, and you get a Joe Burrow card, and you're entered to win the Jamar Chase uniform. All you got to do is be a Patreon member. Sign up for the Joey tier. You get Discord benefits. Tomorrow, a huge Garrett Nussmeier film study is dropping exclusively for patrons. You want to check it out. Tonight, we are doing pod roasts. Let's go. Let's go.